Kishmish.
That's me. Hi, welcome or welcome back to Filmy Wally Feelings. I'm your host, Jeshmish, here for your filmy quota. It is the month of June, which is more importantly known as Pride Month. Happy Pride Month, everyone. The next episode will be a Pride Month special, which I am super duper excited to share with you guys. And honestly, I'm also pretty excited about some of the content coming down the pipeline, including some very special guests who will be coming to the podcast. In other not so great news, I watched Para this weekend. Yeah, honestly, I really, really just wanted to say that I really wish I didn't. Now, if you follow me on social media, and if you don't, hey Cheshmish on Twitter, Instagram, and Reddit. But if you do, you probably know my verdict on this film already. So let me go over my thoughts very briefly. This movie was ridiculously bad. First of all, there was no plot or purpose. It was a narration of events that transpired through Indian history with no actual focal point. And also factually extremely inaccurate sometimes. Now, this is my plea to the Hindi film industry to focus on content more than the star quotient. It can only take you so far. And while we wait for quality Hindi cinema, I will just continue to occupy myself with some Bollywood classics. I mean, it's not all bad, of course. 2019 has proven to be the year of content, with releases like Uri, Gully Boy, Ek Ladki Ko Dekha To Aisa Laga, Badla, and Luka Chupi. So, there's hope. And also, no matter what, I'll probably never give up on Bollywood anyway. You're stuck with me forever. And you want to know something else that's really timeless when it comes to Bollywood? Moms. Bollywood loves its moms. The filmier, the better. The Nandinis and Anjalis, the Bella Makijas, and almost every character Rima Lagu has played. Bollywood's most beloved mom, may she rest in peace. But today, I want to tone it down a notch and focus on the everyday moms a little more. They are not quite as filmy, but are filled with just as much love. Sometimes you forget them because they're in the background, either overshadowed by their husbands or being an embarrassment to their children. There's always someone to remind her that she is not as educated as her male counterpart. She cries in silence because she doesn't want the focus to be on her. But no matter how bad things get, she is always still going to pack your lunch, make your bed, and do your laundry without a single pat on her back. She is the most selfless being known to humankind. She is Mom. Our films in focus this week are English Vinglish and Secret Superstar. English Vinglish was released in 2012 starring the late Sridevi. May she rest in peace. It was directed by the very brilliant Gauri Shinde. Gauri Shinde also won the Filmfare Award for Best Debut Director, and Sridevi was nominated for Best Actress. Some notable trivia about English Vinglish: it was Sridevi's comeback film after a 15-year hiatus from the industry. Gauri Shinde has said that this story is loosely inspired by her mother, who was a homemaker who ran her own pickle business. A brief synopsis of English Vinglish. It is about Shashi, aka Sridevi, who is a homemaker with two children, Sagar and Sapna. Her husband Satish and her daughter Sapna often make fun of her for the way she speaks English and are often embarrassed by her. She has a business selling laddus, which her husband mocks by saying he already makes enough money for the home. As you can see, respect for her is really lacking. One day, she gets a call from her sister that her sister's daughter is getting married, so she has to go to New York alone to go help out with all of the wedding festivities and preparations. After a few mishaps entering in New York City, she learns to navigate her way through by enrolling in English classes and making friends of different descents along the way. Secret Superstar was released in 2017, and it stars Zaira Wasim, Meher Vij, and Amir Khan in lead roles. It was directed by Advait Chandan. Zaira Wasim won the Best Actor Critics' Choice, and Meghna Mishra won Best Female Playback Singer. Some notable trivia about Secret Superstar. Zaira Wasim is a guitar enthusiast, which made her guitar strumming look more authentic in the film. Amir Khan's role of Shakti Kumar was inspired by Anu Malik. Hopefully, minus the Me Too allegations. A brief synopsis of Secret Superstar. It is about Insia Malik, who is played by Zaira Wasim. She's a high school girl who has a very rough home life. Her father is extremely physically abusive towards her mother, Najma, played by Meher Vij. She shares a loving bond with her mother, but wants her to divorce her father. Financially, unfortunately, she is dependent on her husband. Amidst all of this, Insia also has dreams of becoming a famous singer. Her mother supports her dreams, but her father disapproves of her learning music and often threatens to break her guitar. Due to some home issues, she was not able to take part in the school talent competition. And out of guilt, Najma sells her jewelry to buy Insia a laptop. Her mother gives her the idea that she can upload her songs on YouTube in a burqa so that her father does not find out her identity. And she uses the alias Secret Superstar. Her videos go viral, and she gets a message from Shakti Kumar, a renowned music director, to record a song for a film. With the help of her friend Chintan, she was able to sneak away to Mumbai to record. She tells Shakti that if she successfully records, she needs help getting her mother out of her marriage. With Shakti's help, she finds a lawyer who gets divorce papers for her mother ready. And just when things are looking up, her father announces a new job in Riyadh, where the whole family has to move to and also get Insia married off. It is now up to Najma to decide Insia and her family's fate. So, let's talk about our moms a little bit. This is probably the most similar comparison I have done with films. I mean, I'm talking like I'm so seasoned. It's only my third comparison. But out of all of them, this These two probably have the most in common. From their personality, from their style, to the way they end up, is all very, very similar. So let's talk about a little bit about their dress and style a little bit. Shashi, there's not too much variation. You almost always see her in a sari. And same with Najma, she always wears salwar suits. There is a slight variation because Najma also wears burqas. It's also primarily due to her faith. And she also, like, a significant article of clothing, not exactly clothing, but an article, is sunglasses. When she first picks up Insia from camp, she's wearing sunglasses. Sunglasses to cover up her bruises that her husband gave her probably sometime the night before. A little bit about their personality. Shashi is really kind and sensitive. One particular scene which, like, fully clarified this was, so there, when she's taking English classes and stuff with a bunch of different people of different faith, different countries and faiths. One of the guys, the taxi driver, the Pakistani taxi driver, he says, "See, when gay people are in love, it's not really real. And I mean, the next day they'll just end up with someone else." And her English teacher just, like, broke up with his boyfriend. And he didn't come into class yet, but they were discussing this. And Shashi told the guy, she was like, "We shouldn't trivialize people's love just because it's different from our own." And, you know, like, when you see a woman like Shashi, your first impression of her, or at least my first impression of her, was like conservative auntie types. But the way she explained this so beautifully and so simply, it's just like you can't judge a book by its cover. And that's what a lot of us do. When we meet someone, like a sari-clad woman who doesn't always, like, speak very precise English, the first thing our brains do is put people in a box. And ultimately, Shashi did not end up fitting in the box that I or we, the audience, had created for her. And some other aspects about her personality type. She is very dutiful as a mother and a wife. Something I don't know if it was meant to irritate the audience, but it was like Shashi was in the middle of
talking with someone or doing something. And it was like, Satish, her husband, is just like, Shashi, chai. Shashi, chai. And I'm like, oh my God, you're so annoying. But, you know, she, of course, always brought him the chai. And we're going to talk a little bit more about Najma later, but in comparison to Najma's situation, they both have very similar situations, because her Satish, her Shashi's husband, may not like physically abuse her or anything, and but there is a pretty big lack of respect, because they end up like, they, as in him and his daughter Sapna, end up mocking Shashi a lot of the time for the English and things like that. But there is one thing that Shashi has that Najma doesn't, is kind of like a free will. The way she is willing to learn, her curiosity, and the fact that she goes out and learns English, that's probably something Najma could not do. Would not do. Not that she could not do it, but probably would not do, because of how tightly bound her situation was. Let's talk a little bit more about Najma. Najma, in comparison to Shashi, she's very meek. She won't speak up at all. The most things she says to her husband, and you can count it in the film, is I'm sorry. That's, she says it so many times. And one of the biggest signs of abuse, like somebody's going through an abusive relationship, is like the amount of times they have to unnecessarily apologize for like every little thing. That's the biggest red flag. So Shashi was what we would call dutiful. She's the dutiful wife. Najma, I would call her obedient. Obedient more so than dutiful, because she is helpless. She is stuck in this situation, this horrific situation, where if the salt in her husband's food is not enough, she could be beaten. And lastly, Najma is selfless. When she was pregnant with Insia, and this was later revealed to Insia by the grandma living at home, the Kalajan, that her mother was pregnant with her, but when they found out, well, when her husband found out that it was a girl child, he and his family beat her, and she ran away from them to give birth to her, and then came back. Like, they beat her because she wouldn't give up the child, and they wanted her to abort it because it was a girl. So that's why she ran away. And when she came back, she was like, we can abort the next one, but this one I want to keep. This one is my Incia. And Incia also means woman. It just shows that she's really selfless. She would do anything for her daughter. And which brings me to the end result of both Shashi and Najma. Shashi ends up giving a speech at her sister's daughter's wedding in English. And in the end, her family, especially her husband and daughter, end up treating her with more respect, and they don't underestimate her as much. And you can tell from their faces how sorry they were for, like, always taunting her for being so insensitive about the way she speaks English. And Najma gains courage and ends up signing the divorce papers and leaving her husband and taking her son, Gudu, and Incia with her. When she stands up to her husband, it makes you want to scream and clap. I hope and pray every woman suffering through domestic violence gets this kind of ending in their lives. So, let's talk about how our two moms relate to our everyday non-filmy world. Like, where do we see the Shashis and the Najmas on a daily basis? Of all of the topics we have covered, only three, but still, I think you'll find the Shashis and the Najmas way more common than any of the other two. Some real life issues that English Vinglish and Shashi had brought up is, one of them was language insensitivity. Like, as an American Desi, and I'm not proud of it, but I've definitely corrected people's English from when someone from India comes. I've definitely corrected their English, and it's not in like a nice way. It was more of like a caustic way. So inherently, this language insensitivity is there when somebody knows English and the other person they're conversing with does not. It's something we all need to work on. And another point that Shashi brought up, which I thought was so poignant, she was talking with Laurent, one of the French students who was learning English. He also ended up having like a massive crush on her. But before that, one of their initial conversations was, Shashi asked him what he does for a living, and he said, I'm a chef, I make food. And then Shashi, like, has this smile, like a, kind of face. It's like, you cook, you're an artist. Woman cooks, it's her duty. And it just like was so like reflective upon society. It's like, yeah, if a woman cooks, it's her duty. But like guys, men are often lauded for being chefs or going into the culinary art profession. But Shashi, selling her laddus, her husband kind of like mocks her. It's like, why are you doing this? And she's just like, this is what I love doing. But no one, until she came to America, no one called her an entrepreneur, which is what she was and is. But even when she like had a conversation with Satish that night, she was like, Satish, you know what they called me today? I'm an entrepreneur. But like, he didn't say, he was like, oh wow, he was like mocking her. He was like, oh, entrepreneur, huh? It's just like, when a woman cooks and sells her food, it's not taken seriously in the society that Satish was brought up in. And last and finally, I also want to bring up Shashi's exposure to America. Like, initial exposure is culture shock. She had a huge culture shock seeing different types of people, different colors, different demeanor. And of all places, New York, the hustle and bustle of New York, trying to order a coffee when you only know a little bit of English. I mean, they kind of got it right, but it was a little bit dramatized. But I get it, it's Bollywood, it's all good. But yeah, the initial culture shock is something I have seen when a lot of people, friends and family, come visit from India. They feel that same culture shock, and I have felt that culture shock when I visit India. It's different. But it's something you learn to grow to love later. I think there is a part of America, an aspect of America, that Shashi has really grown to love. And I think one of the parts, which, thank you, Gauri Shinde, for encapsulating what America is all about. When a lot of people come to visit America, it's often, we often only think of like a certain race of individuals. And it's not the case. Especially places like New York, you end up seeing people of so many different nationalities, so many different cultures, and so many different faiths, all in one place. And that's not something you get in a lot of places, because many places are, cultures are very homogenous. So it's something you really grow to love about America, even though initially maybe you have that culture shock where it's like, oh, there's so many different types of people, and I was only expecting like a certain race of people. Now, Najma, on the other hand, brings up some slightly more, no, definitely more graver topics The first topic is domestic violence. Najma suffers greatly in the hands of her husband. She gets beaten constantly for little things. She forgot to turn the geyser on. Her husband broke her hand. She didn't put salt in the food. Her husband flipped the plate. She missed one of the dates for something, and it was like her husband's going on a trip, so she forgot to pack like the bag because she thought it was the day after and not the day before. Again, she got like, she just gets reprimanded for no reason. The worst one was when her husband found out that she stole, like, she didn't steal, but she sold her necklace that her brother gave her. So, I mean, it's technically her money. She sold it to buy NCL a laptop. She was severely beaten. I mean, like, blood coming out of her nose. This kind of violence has... It's horrifying. And it happens more often than we think. There are so many cases in India and also in America where someone is going through the cycle of violence right now. Another topic that Secret Superstar brings up is the topic of abortion. Najma was supposed to abort Inzia because she was not a boy. And this movie takes place probably 2010-ish. But it's like enough to know this is like modern time. Still, no matter how modern the time is, there is still a certain group of people in the mindset that the girl child is a waste of a child and they have to get rid of them. And that is the only case where abortion would be allowed. Now, in America, we are facing some issues regarding abortion. It's like, it's like, at all, they won't let you abort the child. It's like, no matter what kind of situation you're going through, and that's like another problem in itself. And here it's like they're encouraging an abortion when the woman doesn't want to. And then in the States, they're encouraging and they're almost forcing a woman to not have an abortion, even if she doesn't want to. It's just, In both cases, the woman is not winning at all. And another thing, which I guess Shashi and Najma both have in common, is the education aspect. Now, let me tell you something that I think is important. Just because you know English doesn't mean you're educated. So, but in Shashi's case, her daughter and her husband both think she's uneducated because she doesn't speak English very well. And Najma, she doesn't know how to read or write at all. So, even her her husband also mocks her by saying it's like, I'm trapped with a woman who is so uneducated. So he tells Insia, he's like, no one wants to marry an uneducated woman. As some sort of like way to be modern. But like, in that effort, you just ended up going even more backwards. So both these films brought up a lot of like different very poignant issues that you know, are very, very relative to our non-filmy world. I think these issues are like some of the most relevant in modern day society, that we need to look into more.
Okay, so let's discuss music. I'm gonna discuss two songs from each of the films, and for English Finglish, the music director was Amit Trivedi. And the first song I'd like to talk about is the song Tak Duk, and that is sung by Amit Trivedi. This song takes place post the invite to New York from her sister. Shashi's sister invited her to New York to help with all the wedding festivities for her daughter. This song, it's basically addressing like the nervousness that Shashi has going into a foreign country. And she even asks, like, Satish beforehand, she's like, how am I gonna go? And you could just see, like, the anxiety and the nervousness in her eyes. And you can also tell, like, from the way, like, how sad she is and how nervous she is. Also, like, you can tell how much her husband didn't really care how scared she was. He's just like, go take care of things. Which also makes you really sad too. And the next song that was very poignant to the theme is the title song, English Finglish. This was also sung by Amit Trivedi and Shilpa Rao. The Shilpa Rao version was the one used in the film.
I'm learning, learning, siku, wiku, nahi, zuba. Dhime, dhime, slowly, slowly. I'm learning, learning, siku, wiku, nahi, zuba. Aflatun, hatsurun.
So something I really love about the title and the song, this song in general, is that kind of like free form version of word usage. It's something very common in a lot of Indian languages, like Hindi. My household is Bengali and we do it too. It's just, it's like a form of like ad-libbing where you add like something else after the word and it sounds like the word before that. So English, Binglish, coffee, waffy, sugar, vugar. And it doesn't have to be English words. It's also like, I've heard it being used with like the language, native language words too. It's like kana shana, gana vana. It's like, it's just, language is so interesting. This is a very important song, because this established like this newfound excitement that Shashi found in America. And like the first quarter of her time in America, she kind of felt lost and she just didn't know where she was going, what she was doing. And when she enrolled in these English classes, she gained that independence. She's taking the metro and going to classes and stuff. And she's learning, she's making friends, and this is like really exciting. This independence is really exciting. So that's why I thought this song was so significant. And moving on to the music of Secret Superstar. I mean, if we didn't talk about the music of a musical film, then we didn't really have a proper conversation. Incidentally, the music of Secret Superstar, the music director is also Amit Dwivedi. And one of the songs that is really beautiful and important to the film is the second song that Insia uploads to YouTube, and it's called Meri Pyari Ammi.
Mushkil mein hoti hu, ammi meri roti hai, khushi mein bhi meri wo dupatta bhigoti hai. एक एक आंसू में दुआएं पिरोती हैं, कोई बताए क्या है, अम्मी ऐसी होती है.
So this song was very beautifully sung by Meghna Mishra, the debutante singer of Secret Superstar. This song is literally an ode to all of the amazing mothers out there. It literally captured everything about what being a mother is all about. From the emotions, to the childlike behavior, to the naivety, to just everything. Everything a mother is, and everything Insia's mother is in particular. It's just like you can see in Insia, you can feel it in every fiber of her being, that she really wants to get her mother out of this situation because she thinks the world of her. And that's really important because a lot of the times in the movie, Insia does get really frustrated with her. But ultimately, when you hear this song, you're just like, they have such an amazing bond together that any little hurdle or obstacle they encounter, it's like almost immediately overcome. So the last and final song we will be discussing is the song Nachti Fira. It's probably the more popular one of the songs in Secret Superstar, and it is also sung by Meghna Mishra.
Teri hi boli bolungi main, teri hi bani gaungi main, tere ishq da chola pehen ke main tujh mein hi rang jaungi, tere ishq da chuda pehen ke main tujh mein hi saj jaungi, main nachti phira
I made this clip a little bit longer because this entire part was so important. Before this version of the song was sung, Shakti Kumar wanted her to record this really dancey version of this song called like Sexy Baliye, instead of like Nachti Fira. It's very significant because when Insia is looking at the lyrics when she's like frustrated and goes to the bathroom and she's like, I can't do this. And then she looks at all the lyrics, and then she remembers her mother telling her, it's like, this Shakti Kumar guy is a shame. He was once like a really good musician and music director, but now it just seems like everything is being remixed, and like some old song is being remixed. So Insia goes and tells Shakti Kumar that exact same thing that her mom told her. And then Shakti's like, yeah, you know what, you're right. In 2007, I wrote this song to be something completely different. And then he starts singing like the slower version. So this song was kind of life-changing for Insia and her mother and Guddu, because this is the song that got recorded. This is the first song that Secret Superstar recorded in a studio, and it was in like a full-fledged album. And this is the song that kind of saved all of their lives. It got them out of their home, their abusive home. So this concludes the song segment. And now we move into the last and final tunnel vision thoughts. Mothers are beings that we take for granted. Sometimes we overlook the humans who invest in us the most. And I've been guilty of it too. I learned a lot from both Najma and Shashi. From Najma, I learned that women who are going through domestic abuse are not cowards. In fact, far from it. They are fighters. To everyone fighting every day, I wish you all the strength in the world. From Shashi, I learned that it's easy to mock someone for not knowing something. And when something is easy to do, it must mean it is harder for the person on the receiving end to endure. Ultimately, nothing is more important than showing someone respect. These women took destiny in their own hands and had the courage to change their fate. They had the courage to show that they needed to be respected, not as women, but as human beings. Shout out to all the women and girls creating their own destiny. I love all of my Bollywood moms. And of course, a shout out, a very special shout out, to my very own mother for everything she has taught me and continues to teach me. There's so much more I can say. I can honestly have a whole podcast series dedicated to the moms of B-Town. But for now, my rant is over. If there are any amazing Bollywood moms that you want to discuss with me, send me a message on Twitter, Instagram, or Reddit at the handle HeyJeshmish, or email me at heyjeshmish@gmail.com. The next episode will air on June 24th. This will be a Pride Month special. I will be watching Ek Larki Ko Dekha To Aisa Laga and Dostana. Feel free to watch along with me. Till then, stay tuned and stay filmy.